Now, before we can actually look at strategies for building wealth, we have to know what wealth is and kind of like a little formula for it. So it's pretty simple. We live in a capitalist society. Some people don't like that, but that's the system that we have. So if you want to become wealthier, have passive income, then you've got to make use of what's there. It's quite simple. Basically, the way that you get money is by offering things that are valuable to other people. So as we said, this could be selling your time, which other people value, your skills, your knowledge, some kind of product or service. Pretty much the amount of money you get roughly correlates to the amount of value that you're providing to other people. And once you get that money, you of course can spend it. You then get things of value off of other people and you exchange the money for that. And what you have left over is the difference between the value that you've provided to other people and society and the value that you've consumed yourself. Okay, so if I go around and I make some cakes and I sell those to people and I make £20, and then I spend £10 of that on a pizza, then I have created more value than I've consumed. And so I have £10 left at the end of it. The reverse is also true. If you start borrowing money, then of course you are consuming more than you're producing. And so you go into debt. The basic way to generate passive income is to accumulate money, essentially. We call this capital. So if you build up capital, capital is chunks of money storing up the value that you've created to society that you haven't consumed yet. And this capital could be used to purchase a house, could be used to, in the case of a pension, to buy an annuity. It could be invested into the stock market. Something could be done with it. But basically, if you want to have a passive income in the future, you are going to need some capital to do that. Unless, of course, you create a business and turn that into a passive income. But to do that requires a lot of time invested. So either way, you're going to have to give up your time or some kind of consumption in the short term to develop that into some kind of asset in the long term. And that's really how capitalism works. The sort of three key ingredients to that would be, first of all, to control your expenditure. And it's very important that you don't spend more than you earn, because you can't build up assets that way and get into passive income, because you're going into debt and then you're paying someone else and creating a passive income for them. So you do have to control your expenditure and make sure that it's always less than your income. Otherwise, you're never going to get passive income. This is where priorities come in. So you do have to think about the things that are important to you and also the things that aren't important to you, things you can live without. So I, for example, I don't have a very flashy smartphone. I bought my smartphone probably 5 years ago. I spent £100 on it and it still works, and there are much better smartphones around and I don't care. It's not important to me whatsoever. I'm not into photography. I just use it to call people, do a bit of web browsing. So why would I spend hundreds of pounds every year upgrading my smartphone all the time when that, to me, that's not a priority? I also don't travel very much. I like traveling. I've enjoyed the holidays I've been on, but I can live without it. It doesn't bother me. These are ways that I sort of spend less so that I can invest more. And I put that money towards my future and creating a passive income. For some people, it's different. Some people, they love to travel, they love eating out, they love electronics, they love whatever their hobbies are. You have to think about and look at your expenditure and think, okay, the things that I'm buying, are they things that I really, really value? Or am I just spaffing money on stuff that I don't really value that much in it? And so I'm making it harder for myself to generate passive income by just sort of squandering it on things that I don't need. So step number one, definitely control your income. Go over your bank statements, look at things you've bought. Maybe you don't realize where you're spending money. And there's heaps of tips on how to save money, cut down on bills, whatever, right? So go and learn about that if that's a problem for you. And if you sort of look at the difference between what you're getting in and what's going out, then that's what you can save. And you need to sort of do a calculation to think, okay, well, if I'm saving £50 a month, how many months is it going to take me before I have a passive income? This might be 30 years, might be 50 years, could be 100 years. Depends on what level of income you want to get and all those sorts of things. So you should be aware then what the sort of time frame is based on your current situation. And everything around it is geared towards shortening that time frame. which either means further cutting your expenditure, although there's a limit to how far this can go because you have to eat and rent and stuff. So cutting your expenditure can work for a little bit, but ultimately, if you want to speed things up, you are going to have to increase your income and not spend that extra income on consumption. You're going to have to save and invest it. The basic formula for generating passive income is step one, control your expenditure. Step two, increase your income. Step three, save and invest the surplus into generating passive income. Well, let's look at the step two, really. Strategies for increasing your income. Most people are employed. So like we said, there's two real ways there, and that's work more hours or get more out of your time. Increase your hourly rate. Again, working more hours is kind of limited because there's only 24 hours in a day. You can do it if you want to take on some part-time work or something like that. That's good. There's a limit to how far you can push that. Again, it really depends on your personal preference. If you're willing to work your socks off for 5 years and save up tens of thousands of pounds, then you've accelerated the process of generating passive income. Of course, you kind of have to balance that with what you want from life, because again, you could get into the sort of the banker situation of being miserable for 2 decades to generate your assets and passive income. So you have to strike that balance, and only you really know what that balance is and what you value. So if you want to speed it up and you're happy to spend more time working to speed it up, then you should do that. If you don't want to do that, or it's not that important to you to speed the process up, then don't do that. And you're going to find those trade-offs and those tipping points. So if you're not going to take on extra work and you want to just keep your basic job, then you should look at ways of increasing how much money you get paid. And to do that, you really need to look at what skills are in demand in the marketplace, in the labor market, what kind of things are employers looking for, and then you need to look at how to get those things. I'll give you an example of what I did when I was working in insurance. I wanted to know, well, I thought about this, and I thought, okay, how can I move up the pay grade? And I went onto the company website, and I found out their performance review categories, and they listed them out, and there was sort of substandard, average, good, and excellent, or something like that. And I read the description of excellent, and I thought, okay, I'll do that. And so I spent the next year basically trying to do the things that were listed in there. And when I got my performance review, I got an excellent grading and I got a bonus. I think I got, I don't know, 500 or £1,000 or something like that. So there we go. I made more money just by paying attention to what people needed and wanted. You pay attention to what employers are looking for and you deliver that. And then you should get rewarded for that because you're providing value to them. That could be within your industry, could be within the same company. If it's within the same company, then start looking at what are the positions that are more highly paid, what are the things that people need. You could take on extra responsibilities like being a fire marshal, or I don't know, if you're a teacher, you could run PE class or something. Basically, the idea is find ways of making yourself indispensable. That's it. If you imagine that the company has to fire 20% of people, how can you make sure that they wouldn't even put you on the list, right? Make yourself indispensable. Make yourself valuable to that company. Or make yourself valuable to that industry. Some industries where you move around a lot, you don't necessarily spend all your time in one company. So figure out what that marketplace needs. You know, work on yourself to deliver that. And if you're in an industry where you can't make much money, then you need to start thinking about perhaps moving into another industry. And think about where you might go that's better paid, and what do they need and want, and how do you provide it. Now, you have to be kind of smart about this. And again, I'll go back to this mistake that I made when I wanted to start a business. I had none of the skills required to actually do a business, because starting a business usually involves a lot of marketing, and I suck at marketing. I knew nothing about it. I didn't really like talking to people that I didn't know, and I'm not very good at art, and so I just didn't really have all the things that I needed to do that. It was a big move. I went from being an expert in my field in insurance and mathematics to being an absolute novice. And so I went from being paid like an expert to being paid like a novice. So you have to be careful when you start moving around. If you move into an area where your skill set is lower, then you basically have to accept lower income. You have to sort of play it like a game of chess and be strategic. Think about building on what you've got, making incremental advances, maybe adding one thing to what you've got already, not making wholesale changes. So perhaps one of the things I did when I was working in insurance was we had summer interns, and I've volunteered to sort of mentor them and look after them. And then I could put on my CV that I had management experience. And so then that opens me up in the future to be promoted to, say, like team leader or something like that. You can start thinking about what opportunities that there are, maybe things you could even do outside of work, to start to build the skills that you need to then make a sort of movement over to something better paid. And that can be quite a good strategy. And you can think long term with this as well. So maybe there are professional training things you can do, books you can read. I'm always reading books. I think that's really important. Books are cheap. They cost £5, £7 to buy. And they're packed with knowledge. People tend to write books. They spend months on it. They're often distilling decades of wisdom into the book. Yeah, there's huge amounts of knowledge you can get and skills you can develop that you can then bring to the marketplace to get more money. So that's a good way of kind of boosting your income. The other way, I suppose, is to start a business, but I'll do a separate piece on that because that's a big subject. But it's one you should, even if you're not going to start a business, you do work for a business. So you should understand business a little bit. And actually understanding what it's like to start and run a business, you start to get an insight into what business owners want and need. And then if you're going to stay as an employer, you can use that information to increase your income. So it's good to understand both sides of the coin, even if you're only going to be on one side of the coin. And then the third thing is, with all this surplus capital that you're building up, is basically it should be invested into something. And I would say at a minimum, it should be in a savings account, earning the highest interest rate available in the marketplace. So if your bank has got a 2% account and a 1% account, put it in the 2% account. Very simple. There are other low-risk investments available. Purchasing government bonds. A bond, basically, you're just lending money to someone. So a government bond, you're lending money to the government. They tend to be longer-term investments, so the money will be fixed in for 2 years or 5 years or something like that. And you tend to get a slightly better rate of interest. And again, the very low risk, because it's just the British government. So investing into sort of long-term bonds can be a good option. But I'll do a whole other thing on investing, because again, that's a big subject. So business and investing, two massive subjects. But again, learn about it. So if you don't know anything about investing now, ask yourself this. How many books have you read about investing? If the answer is zero, then that's the reason that you don't know anything about investing. So be patient. Look at the long-term view. Maybe you're saving up a bit of money every month, putting it into a savings account or some kind of savings bond, and you're not sure what to do with it. So now start reading books. Maybe if you read 2 books a year, think what's going to happen in 5 to 10 years' time. You're going to start to develop the knowledge and skills you need. So anyway, I'll get more into that later, but be patient and be willing to learn, and you'll get the knowledge and skills that you need.